I tell you what, good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Been funeraling about all week, and I came to a conclusion in that. You know, we buried one lady in her 70s, and then buried a young man yesterday that's 20, just had a birthday. And so I've come to a conclusion that age don't matter. When your time comes, God will call you home, and you better, and you need to be prepared and ready. You know, if there's one thing in life that I've learned, the most important thing in life is that you're saved, you're right with God. I tell you, when it comes to that day, it takes a lot of pain away from the family, and it'll save you a lot of pain and trouble. You need to be saved by the grace of God. I want to share a few verses of Scripture with you this morning. Good to see everybody come out. As I looked this last night, I had a lot of thoughts about several different things. We was in a funeral service yesterday afternoon. Y'all ever heard anybody say, well, it was a good funeral service? You know, it's hard to see that, but I got the evidence and a statement of the young man that was saved. And although he was 20 and a life that seems cut short, he's got eternal life. Amen. Now, that's what matters. You know, that's what makes a difference. This life's just a dash between two numbers. Normally, it's what it is. Reading a few verses of Scripture this morning, St. John chapter 4. If you'll turn there with me, St. John chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 23. Let's talk a little bit about worship and praise. You know, that's what God created us for, that we could worship Him. And I believe that everybody's going to worship something, so why don't we just worship God? You know, you can worship things, houses and yards and cars and boats and all these kind of things. If you put that before God, then that's what you worship. So I thought about a worship service today. You know, I used to hear an older lady tell me, she said, let's just break out and go to meeting. Y'all ever heard that fact? Ever said, you know, let's just break out and go to meeting one time. And that's what I'd like to see happen here at New Salem Baptist Church today, that we just go to meeting. So St. John chapter 4 and verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we start talking about having a meeting. We start talking about a worship service. First of all, it said that we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so, praise God, we've had some singing up here. That ought to kind of help you get into the spirit. And I'm going to tell you the truth according to the Word of God. And so we've got all the makings of having a good church meeting today, having a service that's just totally to worship and praise of the Almighty God. And so, it gets me a little bit excited when you think about a church filled with the Spirit of God, and they begin to worship and they begin to praise, and we're going to have the truth of the Word of God. So we've got every ingredient it takes to make something good this morning. Let's make it something good this morning. Let's let it be a meeting among meetings. And we start talking about the Spirit, you know, and I remember back in Psalm 51, the psalmist David said, as God said, restore unto me a right spirit. He didn't ask for just any spirit. He asked for a right spirit. I mean, you know, there's folks here that can get in the spirit over a ball game. They can get in the spirit over a lot of things. But David asked for a right spirit. Renew a right spirit within me. And then in 1 John chapter 4, it's very plain. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And so we have this Word of God telling not only getting a spirit, but getting the right spirit. You know, anger is a spirit. You can be in a spirit of anger. You can be have revenge, and that's a spirit. But you can even get spirits out of a bottle. But we want to be in the right spirit that we might worship and praise God and do a just thing for an almighty God that deserves it all. Been to enough funerals this week and understand the importance of salvation. I want to share a little bit with you this morning. If you'll look over to 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to talk about what you were redeemed by, you know, and what you were not redeemed by. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 8. Y'all turn there with me. Won't be long in this. It's a short message, so y'all can say thank God for that, you know. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so, you know, that sounds like talking about us. I didn't see Jesus on the cross. I didn't see him crucified, but praise God, I believe it. And in my eyes, I can imagine what took place. And so it starts talking about us, and yet we didn't see him, yet we believe. And that belief is what brings us to the point that we can have this joy and unspeakable. You ever thought about unspeakable and full of glory? And so when we start worshiping, praising, when we start believing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for our sin, it ought to bring us to a place of joy. It ought to bring us to a place of heaven full of glory. Any of y'all lacking in the Spirit, I'll give you some of mine. I'm about to get fired up now. God's done something for me in this lifetime. I'm telling you, he reached down and got a sinner lost and on the way to hell and raised him up into a place of glory. And so when I get to thinking about that, I get filled up. I get excited about what God has done in my life. Does something to me. I get that full of joy and unspeakable glory. I want to transmit it to all of you. I hope everybody here gets in the right spirit, begins to worship and praise God, remembering and thanking him for what he's done in your life, that you might be in the same spirit that some of us are in. Verse 9, it said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And you know, that's what this is all about. We are born and we have a lifetime, and that's a time that we prepare that we're going to meet the Lord one day. You know, we talk about expiration dates. We've all got one. Your day's going to come. And I don't think God's respecter of person. They might be young. They could be just a newborn babe, or it could be the oldest person you know. But we've all got that day we're going to come. And it talks about receiving the end of your faith. And so that's why we have faith in this life, to get to the end of it, to receive the promise of God of eternal life. I don't know if y'all heard a word or not. Can't tell it. I guess God works different ways, different people. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And so we have the word about the suffering of Christ. We know about the beatings. We know about the whipping. We know about the crucifixion. And now we know about the glory that should follow. He was glorified. I'm talking about God Almighty. It said, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And so we have something that the angels desire to look at. And it starts talking down, that preached unto you with the power of the Holy Ghost. That's when preaching gets real, when God takes it and through the Holy Ghost reveals it unto you and speaks to you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel we preach today. Jesus Christ crucified for your sins. The Son of God dying on the cross of Calvary for your salvation. If we've got anything to glory about, I don't know what it would be other than we received it. It said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When I think about girding up our minds, you know, a lot of times we talk about girding up our loins and these things, but it said, get your mind right. That's what it's talking about. Get your mind right. Understand and know what God has done for us. It said, as obedient children, not fashion yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. It said, but as he which had called you holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. And that talks about the Lord Jesus. And it's talking of putting us in a place of holiness. And that comes from the grace of God. We're counted that way because Jesus covered our sins. Have you ever thought about when God looks down on you, if you're a child of God and you're covered in the blood, he sees the blood. He don't see your sin. He don't see your ugliness, your nastiness, your deceitfulness. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ and is pleased with you. That's the only way you can be holy, is through that blood, because we're too human to do it any other way. In verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect to person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And so we have this understanding. You know, he's without respect to person. It don't matter young people. It don't matter old people, middle-aged people, whatever it may be. If God calls your number, you're gone. And you best be ready. You best have it right with God that you've made the decision. Okay, I'm a child of God, and then I think you need to make the decision and say, oh, by the way, and I'm going to act like a child of God. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. It starts talking about we're not redeemed silver and gold. We're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's more precious than silver or gold. It's worth more than all the silver and gold you could stack up. All that you could get and all the money and gold and silver you could gain couldn't buy a soul. And Jesus bought all of them. They're his. He said, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you. Thank God, manifest to you, manifest to me, that we could believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might have this entrance guaranteed into heaven. You know, I think about it a lot of times. I can't answer for you, and I don't know your mind. I'm going to heaven because I've done what God has asked me to do. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I've done these things. And not only that, when I received that salvation and that grace of God, it made me want to change a lot of things in my life, do it different. Nobody made me do it, but I wanted to. That's when you understand it's the power of God. When nobody forces you to change, you want to change. That's when it's real. I mean, I could go down here and talk to Tommy and say, Tommy, you need to change this. And if he changed it, that's my request. But when God talks to you, and that's when it really makes a difference. It goes a little farther. It says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfreighted love of the brother, see that you love one another with pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so this incorruptible seed, that's what we're born again with. In other words, it can't be corrupted. It can't be made wrong. It's the power of God. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which was by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. And preached unto you. I have an opportunity today. Preach the same thing. You're just as grass, and you're just as the flower of grass. It's going to wither away one day. You're going to die. Y'all, most people don't want to hear that. But guess what? According to the Word of God, you're going to die. You're going to fade away one day. My hope is that you've got that promise of eternal life. That although we die out in this flesh, we're alive forevermore in the Spirit. That's the promise of God. I want to close in St. John chapter 3. St. John chapter 3. And I'll start in verse 14. I want to show you a little bit of danger here. And I want to show you the promise of God. St. John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now that's talking about Jesus on the cross. When it's talking about this serpent in the wilderness, I don't know if you read it or not, but if you'll read through it, you'll find on the way through the wilderness, the children of God began to murmur and complain a little bit. They didn't like what to eat. They didn't like what to drink. Didn't like the way Moses is doing this. Didn't like. I kind of found out that maybe they didn't even like God, you know, for a certain time. And they began to murmur and began to complain. Well, they was in the wilderness already, so God probably just used what was already there. He let the fiery serpents begin to bite them. These snakes come in and it bit them because of their murmuring, because of their complaints. Now, let me warn you, God don't take lightly to this sometimes. And these snakes began to bite them. And guess what? When they were bit, they died. Everyone that's bit was dying. It was a death sentence when this serpent bit them. But God talked to Moses and said, if you'll put a serpent up on a pole, if you'll just hang this brazen serpent up on the pole, he said, if they'll just walk by it and look on it and believe it, they'll live. I bet there's a lot of people bit in that day and time because of their murmuring, because of their complaining. They was bit, and some of them probably said, I don't believe it'll work, and never tried it. I guarantee you there's some people there because of unbelief in the power of God. You know, God told Moses to just hang it up there, and if they'll look on it and believe, they'll live. Sounds too simple, don't it? If it made it a real hard thing, they might have done it, but it was simple. I'm sure a lot of them died because they wouldn't look up. They wouldn't look. They wouldn't believe. Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, and we're in a world that won't look and won't believe. He hung there. We can see him by faith, you know. Our faith can still see Jesus on the cross of Calvary shedding the precious blood for your sins, and there's a world of people that still will not look and believe it. Just as Moses said, look, and he won't die. Serpent bit him. Sin bit you. Sin bit you. That's what kills us, the sin. We're bit. You're bit already. You've got a sentence of death within your body. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll look to the cross of Calvary and believe on the Son of God, you'll live. Pretty simple, isn't it? Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So it's about belief. It's about believing he's the Son of God. Believing he died for your sin. In verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's the truth we were talking about. We were talking about worshiping in spirit and truth. The spirit is your part. The truth is right here, that God will save you. Have everlasting life. This is where my salvation came from. That's what happened. I believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He lifted me up out of a wet and miry clay, put my feet on solid ground, gave me an opportunity to have eternal life. And I stand here and tell you that because of that verse and because of my belief, I have that eternal life. I'm going to heaven. Hope to see everybody there. But guess what? After today, I'm not guilty for you. If you don't make it, it's your problem. Sounds hard, but that's the truth. We're telling the truth today. Verse 17 gives an explanation. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he didn't come condemning, he come saving. That's what he was sent for. God's plan that everybody would receive salvation, come to the knowledge of truth. That's God's plan, that's God's will. You can read it in Scripture, that everybody come to the knowledge of the truth and understanding in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I've heard people say, well, there's going to be a time in my life when I'm going to try to get saved. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get saved on your time. It's going to be at God's time or it's not going to happen. Unless he draws you with that Spirit of the Holy Ghost, you won't believe it. You won't receive it. But when he draws you, that's when you can be saved. When the power of God gets real, when the worship service gets high, when the Spirit gets in the right place, when the song service is great, when the truth is preached, that's when he gets saved. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to one day. Well, let me warn you, you're condemned already. And if you don't get it right before God calls your number, and we saw this week, it can be from the youngest of age to the oldest of age. I don't guarantee days. I'm going to tell you, you're already condemned. What are you condemned to? Hell. An eternity to burn in the fires of hell. That's where you're condemned to. And you think, well, would God do that? Absolutely. Refuse his plan and you'll find out. Amen. Let's stand. Let's have a verse for song, Chris. Greg, Glenda, don't see her. Just as I am, page 81. I like it, just as I am, because that's the way you'll have to come. I don't believe you've got the power to change yourself. I don't believe you've got the power. You might think you can, say, I'll change this, change that. But it's God that changes people. I don't know if our mind's strong enough or not. But under that unction and power and leadership of the Holy Ghost, that if you'll come, God will change you. He'll take a vile, nasty sinner, sentenced to hell, and set you on the glory road on the way to heaven. Now that's what God can do. He did it for me, and I'm going to tell you, He'll do it for you. He said, all that come to me, I'll no way cast out. And so we got a guaranteed acceptance. You know, you might put in for an insurance policy and they turn you down. Amen, that can happen. You might put in for something else and they turn you down. But if you put in for salvation, God won't turn you down. If you do it with all your heart and you come seeking Jesus Christ, you'll find Him. But now be ready. When He comes in your life, things will change. It may be a little bit different from now on, or a lot different for some of us. Some of us are better than others. I believe that. I was probably on the bottom rung, but it didn't matter. God saw fit to save me. We're going to sing a verse of this song. God's moved on you to whatever your need is to be saved, to pray and repent. Maybe you are saved and you just need to re-up with God. You know, He likes that. He likes that. He asked for it. Repentance. Maybe you want to join a church. I don't know what your mind is. I'm not a mind reader, but God knows everybody here and knows exactly what's on your heart and mind and what He's putting there. Verse for song.